Once again, we'll turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled, these who have been given over, with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of, so it's the second time, being filled and now full of, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And that's what we want to look at today, inventors of evil things. They people who have abandoned God and have been given over to a reprobate mind, they become creators of more ways to do evil, creators of new forms of vice. They seek to promote and advance sin through their inventions, new ways to gratify the lusts of the flesh. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, notice verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Inventors of evil things. We could go on a long time on that subject. You could go throughout United States history and see this, the inventors of evil things. Now, immediately, someone will say, well, the thing in itself is not evil. There's some good. You put anything in the hands of sinful man, and they will find a way to use it for evil. It can be the greatest invention in the world. And yes, it does have good uses. But once it's in the hands of sinful man, the bad uses far outweigh the good. And again, you can just go through our lifetime and see these things. If you go over to 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we are exhorted, in a general sense, not to love the world. And then he gets more particular, neither the things that are in the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Those words, neither the things that are in the world, has reference to the expression, the demonstration, the passion of the world's spirit. We're not to love the world in a general sense. We're not to love the things of the world. I believe the things of the world describe how the world goes about its business, how the world operates, how the world functions. It would include the priorities, of the world, the interests of the world system, that which absorbs man's attention, man's time of the world system, is what the world system values. It's what the world system treasures, the things of the world. It's what the world system is driven by. We all have things. Nothing wrong with that. But we must always be sure that we do not place our value in the things of this world, that we do not have our treasures in the things of this world, and that we are not driven by the things of this world. And then he further explains his statement, the things that are of the world, in verse 16. For all that is in the world, that would be the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. For all that is in the world. And then he mentions, he classifies all that is in the world, classifies the things that are of the world, under three avenues, three sources, three outlets. The lust of the eyes, or the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three avenues for the things of the world. And man is inventors of evil things. The reprobate mind invents new ways to feed these three avenues: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You think of some of the inventions of man and how it feeds these three avenues, how it goes through these three avenues. These three avenues are of the world's ways. First of all, the lust or the desire of the flesh. You can never leave humanity out of the picture. Again, it can be the greatest thing that ever was, but part of the equation is the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. It's amazing how man in his sinful flesh can take a wonderful invention and use it to promote the work of Satan. Man has that innate ability to take almost anything and to use it to promote his own fleshly desires. Now, the word flesh, of course, can have reference to physical impulses. It has reference to the sinful nature of man. Here, the lust of the flesh, it refers to both. It is the sinful, corrupt, depraved nature of man, and it is the impulses of that corrupt and depraved nature. So it's the impulses of man's depravity, or the depraved nature of man. This flesh, this depraved nature, is active. It's not dormant. It's active. That is indicated by the word lust. The lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the desires of our sinful nature. We do not lose our sinful nature in this life. We are to restrain it by the power of the Spirit that dwells within us. Amen. But we never lose it in this life. It's always there. And that sinful nature has desires. And those are desires that run contrary to God. And not only are there those desires, but they're active. They're active. They're not dormant. They're active. And we of course, most of us here are very much aware of that in our own lives. But notice in a very familiar passage in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. People will say the way Romans 7 verses 14 through 23 is written, it's hard to understand. It really isn't. Just read it slow. It's really pretty plain. And Paul is talking about the battle that is ongoing in his life between the flesh, the nature of flesh, and the new nature that he received at salvation. And it's a constant, if this was so with Paul, certainly it's so with you and I. In verse 14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual." The law is spiritual, but indicative of a problem. I am carnal. I am carnal. Sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. He's talking about his desires. He has desires to do bad, but he doesn't do them. He has desires to do good, but he doesn't always do them either. We can identify with that. We don't carry out all the bad desires we have, but we don't carry out all the good desires we have either. But what I hate, that do I. How often that is so? Our spiritual man hates the sinful flesh, but we find ourselves doing that which we hate. If then I do that which I would not, that is, that I choose not to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's always so. Sin dwelleth in me. Sin dwelleth in me. You can pray and ask God for forgiveness, and He washes that sin away, but guess what? Sin dwelleth in me. It's my nature. It's your nature. For I know that in me, that is in and of myself, that is in my flesh, what I am by nature, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. That is, being a saved person, I have a will to do good. It's present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And we can all identify with that as well. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Evil is present with me. We have to keep that in mind in all man's inventions. Evil is present with me. But I see in verse 23, "But for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." And then he cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then we see, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of God. of sin. The spiritual man serves God. The fleshly man serves the fleshly nature. The lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, are active. Notice in Galatians, we see this activity of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth, warreth against the Spirit." It's active. But also the Spirit's active, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh," again showing this sinful nature is active. Verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Again, showing that this flesh is active within us. So the world's way of life is geared toward the desires and the passions of the physical impulses of the depraved nature of man. The substance, the content, the theme of the world system is the lust of the flesh, is the physical impulses of the depraved nature of man. The world's way of life is patterned to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And man in his fleshly nature continues to invent new vices, new ways to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And once these devices are around a while, and even God's people, they become accustomed to them, they become spellbound by them, and they find themselves defending which cannot be defended scripturally. But they're spellbound. They're spellbound by it. They're not going to let it go. They might see when it first comes out, "Oh, this is bad. I'm not going to let my kids have this." Oh, give it a while. You'll not only let your kids have it, you'll have it. And that's our nature. That's our nature. He goes on to mention the lust of the eyes. The ways of the world system are designed to gratify sight. And the world's aims and purposes center around appearances. The lust of the flesh is really fed by the lust of the eyes. The eyes are the gateway to the mind. Inventors of evil things, and all it does is feed the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. The next thing mentioned there in 1 John is the pride of life. The pride of life. Just about everything in this world feeds the pride of life. And man invents new ways to feed the pride of life. Just constantly feed the monster of pride, promoting the pride of life. So three avenues: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And these are the motivating factors of the world. They are the spring of action for those who are of the world. It is what characterizes the system, that the system of the world. And people live in response to these three avenues. The lust of the flesh. People live in response to the lust of the flesh. All you have to do is watch a commercial. They're geared toward these three avenues. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It feeds these things. They're geared toward these things because people live in response to these things. You and I, of course, are to be different. We're to live in response to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and not be sucked in by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And then perhaps the best summary of all this in 1 John 2 there is not of the Father. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, not of the Father. It's not of God. It's not of the Lord. And again, the way of the world system is people living not of the Father. Not of the Father. But according to their own assessment, they live. And man invents evil things. In other words, man creates that which furthers a life which is not of the Father. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are all temporary. They're all temporary. And the world lives in response to the temporary. The world is driven by the temporary. And they invent things to further the evil of man. There are many inventions, of course, that had no evil intent when they were invented. But you put it in the hands of sinful man, and you've got a disaster. You've got a disaster. Don't ever underestimate our sinful nature. Whenever people say, well, nobody would do such and such with that, you've just underestimated the sinfulness of human nature. Man will do just about anything with anything to further, to feed his own lust, whether it be the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life, making themselves feel better about themselves. So God help us as we live in this world. The next thing we come to is disobedient to parents, and we'll look at that next week. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that it would find lodging in our hearts and in our minds. Help us, Lord, to be directed at all times by your Spirit and not by our flesh, by your word and not by our own human reasoning. Help us, Lord. We just pray that you'd be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.